Now I want to go a step further. Now, I know some of you know me. You know some of the things I said before. Maybe there's a few in here that aren't very acquainted with me. I'm probably going to shock you what I'm about to say. Turn with me to the book of Jude. There's a whole book of the Bible written on this issue of contending for the faith. How important is it to contend for the faith? How important is it to contend for the faith? Well, a whole book of the Bible has been dedicated to this issue. Verses 3 and 4, it says, "Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for and trusted to the saints. For certain men's condemnation," now did you see that? "Their condemnation was written about long ago, secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace." Listen, it's grace that has been changed into a license for immorality. They changed grace. You see, they don't distort the Trinity. They don't deny the deity of Christ. They're not saying hell was not real and that there's no rapture, none of that. The concern right here is over grace. Grace changers. This isn't written for what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. This isn't written for what the Mormons do. Did you hear me? The false teachers of our day, the ones that got the platform, they had to do something with this. So they twisted the word like they do so many hundreds of other times in the New Testament. They said, well, the Trinity needs to be contended for, the deity of Christ. No, this is talking about people that change grace into a license for immorality. If you read through the book of Jude, Jude goes on and he describes these men. Now listen to me. He never said one good thing about them. Not one good thing. He said they do not have the Spirit of God. He said their condemnation is awaiting them. They divide you. Blackest darkness is awaiting them. And a whole host of other things. And then you could get Peter's version of what Jude wrote about. I don't know if you ever studied 2 Peter chapter 2. There are probably 10 similarities between the book of Jude and 2 Peter chapter 2. So go with me, please, to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 2. And this is very stirring to me. Because Peter brought out something that is not found in Jude that helps us better understand the seriousness of what all this means and how dark a day it is. Verse 1. "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies or damnable heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways." Peter said about the same men that Jude called the grace changers, he said that's a damnable heresy. He said many people will follow their teaching. He said just like there were false prophets in the Old Testament, certainly alluding to what opposed Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel especially. He said there's going to be false teachers among you. Now, you don't understand, I don't think. I believe very few here really understand how important it is for us to grab a hold of this overall picture. You see, the concern that Jude wrote about, he said, "I wanted to write about the salvation that we share." Imagine that. He was going to write about salvation, but there was a more pressing need to write about. It was for all the Christians, the men and the women, to contend. That means to earnestly struggle for. by reasoning from the Scriptures, for the true grace of God. That would mean against that false grace message. The very thing that Jude feared would happen, if that wasn't done, if the body then didn't contend earnestly against that false grace message, is what we're seeing today. It's what has happened today. People ran after it. People bought into it. Many followed it. They're supporting it. They love it. Now, listen to me. I still didn't make the point. You see, what we got now, we got a whole host of people. A multitude. If we were way up on a hillside, as far as your eye could see, way out there, way out around, all those people, if you could put them shoulder to shoulder to shoulder, in Protestant churches, carrying Bibles all around the world, they believe they're on the road to heaven, but they're really on the road to hell. They're really on the road to hell. The only way these people are going to get snatched from the fire, Jude said, snatch them from the fire. Brothers and sisters, you're going to have to be willing to go into battle. It's not going to be easy. Anytime you serve God, we're in the devil's turf. You're here and you're going to do battle. You want to do something for God, you're going to pay a price. I heard a preacher say one time, forget it. Don't think you're going to serve God without paying the price. He said there's a price to pay. He said when he was called to be a preacher, he knew there was a price he was going to have to pay, and he had to pay a price. You and I are going to have to pay a price to serve God. You might not be called to preach full time, but you're called to hold out the word of life, to be a light, to be salt. You're to spread that word. Now, when I said not to be called full time, I didn't mean not to speak it out whenever you can. I don't mean that, because I believe we all need to do that. We all need to be sowers in spreading the word. People are going to hell all around us. There's such an opportunity to serve God. It's unbelievable. I mean, people are looking for things to do for God. How could you miss it? Just look, open your eyes. There's such a need everywhere. It's unbelievable, the desperate need of people. And people have been deceived in Protestant circles. Again, I used to be a Roman Catholic. When I first came out of Catholicism, realized that Catholicism was idolatry, blasphemy, sacrilege, and heresy, I went after Roman Catholicism like I'm going after eternal security right now. I mean, it was 100% effort, tunnel vision, seek out and destroy Catholicism. And hallelujah, glory be to God. A bunch of people left Catholicism and got saved. Now, I've seen, since that point in time, the need among Protestants, the number one heresy. People think the number one heresy is this thing over here, or that thing over there, that thing. I'm telling you, you line up all those heresies, I know they're out there too. There is nothing that can even come close to the damnable heresy of eternal security. I want to make a statement. Because of my background, right after I got saved, my brother got deceived by Jehovah's Witnesses. And he wanted me to be a Jehovah's Witness. And I had spent the first year approximately in my life studying especially about Jesus, about the deity, Christ, and Trinity. And I learned a lot about Jehovah's Witnesses. I got to know a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses. And for a while, I thought these Jehovah's Witnesses were Christian. I mean, I went to the Protestant church where they preach born again. I've seen more zeal among the Jehovah's Witnesses. They quoted the Bible more. Seemed like they had more of the fruit of the Spirit than these tongue-talking, dear precious brother. Well, I found out that just believing another gospel will send you to hell. Did you hear that? If you preach another gospel, you'll go to hell. Galatians 1:8-9. If you believe a wrong gospel, you'll go to hell for that. Now, I'm not trying to paint the road so narrow that five people are going to enter or 10 people. It's going to be a great multitude that no man can count just out of the last generation. But brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, you go through the New Testament and you start marking down the things that will knock you out. Listen to me. All the devil has to do to knock you out, to exclude you, is to get you in bitterness and unforgiveness. He'll wipe you out that way. You don't have to murder a person. There are a lot of people that got a Catholic mentality that are in Protestant circles. I believe, because I was taught that sort of thing, it's going to take murder, a bank robbery. These are the kind of people that go to hell. Ew. Well, they'll be in hell too, but there will be many more people in hell that never did that. There will be multitudes of people in Protestant circles that came to church faithfully in hell. In fact, I want to make a statement. Listen to me. There will be multitudes of preachers in hell. I venture to say that if we knew how many preachers are going to hell, we'd virtually faint, fall over, because it's that dark a day that we're living in. The people that are out there supposedly representing Jesus and His gospel, they're really not declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And because, like I said, there's a multitude that has opened themselves up to the greatest danger that exists, and they don't know it. They don't know it. And they're not going to find out unless you're willing to risk ridicule, and you're going to suffer. I've been battling eternal security, oh, I would imagine at least 15 years or so, maybe 20 years, and I've paid a dear price. Before I ever became a pastor, I had many an opportunity shot down and destroyed because I rejected eternal security and the people knew I stood opposed to it. I'm certain that if I would have complied with the people that had the power, I could have had many opportunities opened up to me. But brothers and sisters, listen to me, that's a test. You know what the truth is, you're going to be tested with that truth. People need to hear the truth. The Bible says, buy the truth and don't sell it. A lot of people, they sell out. They're not willing to pay the price. I want you to see a scripture, and I noticed this right before we left to come over to this conference. I knew about this scripture, but not the way I'm about to share it. I've seen something new that I've never seen. That's in 1 Peter 4:18. 1 Peter 4:18. Listen to this, please. Peter said this, getting back to salvation maintenance, and the greatest danger that faces a Christian. 1 Peter 4:18 says this. If it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Now, a lot of people, they read that and it don't really sink in. They miss it. It's not saying if it's hard for the wicked to be saved. It's not saying if it's hard for the religious to be saved, like maybe a Pharisee. You understand, a lot of people think the Pharisees were people that were like righteous kind of people. That was only on the outside. Jesus said they were wicked people. Filled with wickedness and greed. That's who the Pharisees were. It says here, it's hard for the righteous to be saved. Who's the righteous? 1 John 3:7, they that do what is right is righteous. The righteous are the people that are following Jesus. The Bible says if it's hard for the righteous to be saved, what's going to become of the ungodly sinner? See, the two groups. You got the ungodly sinner over here. You got the other group, the Christian, here called the righteous over here. The Peter says that it's hard for them to be saved. See, when he used saved there, he's talking about an entrance into the kingdom, final salvation. The same as what Jesus said in Matthew 10:22. He that endures to the end will be saved. Jesus the same way. But here's what I've seen. The same exact Greek word that Peter used right here in 1 Peter 4:18, where it says hard. Some translations say hardly or scarcely. It's found in the book of Acts, verse 27. So jump for a minute to Acts chapter 27. It's found in verse 16. Acts 27:16. The context is a hurricane. There's a hurricane taking place. The Apostle Paul and others are on board a ship. We find out that Paul thought that he was going to die. He never slept for 14 days. Finally, at the end of Acts 27, the ship was smashed to pieces by the waves. The waves were so strong and beating so powerfully against that boat, it busted that boat to pieces. That was the kind of force that that wind had. Now, in Acts 27, verse 16, it says, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. That's the same word in 1 Peter 4:18. If it's hard for the righteous to be saved. Now, if you would have been Paul, if you would have been the people on board that ship, where that wind is blowing to that degree, and you're trying to secure a lifeboat, how hard would that have been? How hard would it have been to tie that lifeboat down to that boat so it wouldn't get blown away? It'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be pretty hard? Would you say you'd have to exert an agonizing effort? The same thing Jesus said in Luke 13:24. I would say you would. So Jesus said it. Peter said it here. Brothers and sisters, it's time to get serious. I know we heard this before. I know you read through the Bible and you realize that Jesus shed His blood and the apostles, they shed their blood. Brothers and sisters, this is it. You see, we don't have nothing to do with this world. The Bible says, in John 17:16, Jesus praying for His disciples, the real Christians, He says, they're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. He's praying to the Father. This world has no interest at all for you if you're walking with God the way you need to be. None. Zero. Nothing. Nothing. There's zipped. Now, you need to realize that the devil fears you. You got a message that will deliver people that he has under his control. Your message is the gospel. That's the dunamis of God, the power of God that will set them free from their sin and bring them into the paradise kingdom that the devil got kicked out of. The devil's going to oppose your message. He's going to send fear, discouragement, persecution, financial trouble, physical illness, anything he can to stop you, to shut you up. You're in a war. The Bible says, as good soldiers of Christ Jesus endure hardship. And no one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. A whole lot of the civilian affairs out there that people are involved in. We need to cast those things aside. It's time to put away those things. We're in a war. Souls are hanging in the balance. Souls are going to go to hell. I tell my wife sometimes, and I can say the same thing about you. I know some of you are so dear and precious. You're such a heart for truth. I thank Almighty God that you heard the truth. But imagine, there are people out there that we can come into contact with during the course of the next week, maybe the next year or 5 years if we're still alive, that have a heart like you before you got saved, that was open for the truth, but they just didn't know what truth was. And there's some of these people that are deceived by these eternal security teachers. They're on the road to hell. They think they're on the road to heaven. We can snatch them from the fire. We can pull them out of that. You're going to have to contend for the faith. You're going to have to be willing to speak up. Now, I want to say something right now. I thank Almighty God for the dear sisters in here. It bothers me sometimes that some people will say, women should not even contend. Men are to be the teachers. The women are to shut up. Well, I see numerous times in the Bible where, especially like in Jude 3, that was given to the whole church. Not just the men, not just the so-called spiritual leaders, but the women, too. Now, I realize, and I'm no male chauvinist. I'm nothing like that. I believe the Bible. The Bible says this about women, that they're more easily deceived than a man. It says that. Paul said that. You see, Eve was deceived. The devil came at Eve, the woman, to get at the man. Adam wasn't deceived. It was the woman that was deceived. So he said on the basis of that, because teaching is so important, he wouldn't allow a woman to have that kind of responsibility to usurp authority over a man in a congregation. But listen, everybody's to contend for the faith. Everybody's to go and preach the gospel. You could tell people what the gospel. You could point them to Jesus. Anybody could do that. You could share your testimony with them. There's not no violation. Some of these people out there, they mean well, and they're putting restrictions. They're actually stopping potential servants from spreading the word of God. My wife is a dear contender of the faith. Some of the women in here are dear contenders of faith. You keep it up. Which is too bad some of these men that are around aren't like some of these women. The Bible says we're all to contend for the faith. Folks, people are going to hell. If somebody was in a building and it was burning down, wouldn't you want to warn them? If you love them, if you weren't too selfish, I mean, if you weren't just too comfortable in your easy chair, watching TV, and doing your own thing, if you were really thinking about them, you'd want to go and put yourself out there in jeopardy where they might think you're a little strange, or even worse. You're going to have to do that sometimes. Sometimes. And your family will often be split, be divided. Jesus said, don't think I came to bring peace, but a sword. My family is ripped to shreds. Some of them don't even come around anymore. May the Lord God save my uncle. After I got saved, he came over to visit my widowed mother, and I'd give him the gospel all the time. He stopped coming over because of me. Wasn't long thereafter, my cousin and her husband stopped coming around because of me. I started talking about Jesus all the time. And they wanted the other family members to know. we're not going over there no more because of him. My cousin in another state, way back when, years ago, we started our magazine, our apologetic magazine. She started to send a donation to our way. It wasn't much, but I thank the Lord for it. Well, she got so upset over what we were putting in our magazine. Not only did she cut us off, but when she'd write some kind of card, she wouldn't even mention us in the card. Jesus said, your family will be divided. We had a talk one time in our family, and this was with my brother that was a Jehovah's Witness, his wife that was a Catholic. My grandmother that was there, she was neutral. She was just sitting and listening. My mother just came out of the Catholic Church because of me, and there I was. And I wanted them all to come to Jesus. The ones that were in the Jehovah's Witness and the Catholic. And so we went around the circle. If you wanted to say anything, you could. Well, I came back around a couple times, came back to my brother, and he just absolutely flared out in anger, busted the whole thing to shreds. Well, part of the family went over here in this part of the house, another part went over. I grabbed my Bible, went over in the kitchen. I never seen that verse ever before, never noticed it. I just took the Bible, wanted to read something from the Word of God. Threw the Bible open to Luke chapter 12. The very exact scripture that Jesus said, that there will be five in one household divided, three against two, two against three. And that's exactly how it was. And it was divided exactly like Jesus said right there. The same thing will happen to you. You get out, but I want you to know, it doesn't always happen that way. Some of those people are going to listen. Some of those people are going to get sick. Besides, you know who the real family is? The real family are the ones that are putting into practice the Word of God. But brothers and sisters, the greatest danger is not what these eternal security people are telling you. I have a list I could give you of at least 10 scriptures that clearly state that you can lose your inheritance in the kingdom. You are still potentially under the danger of being thrown into the second death, which is the lake of fire. You can be disowned by Jesus. You can be cut off from the vine and thrown into the fire. And a whole list of other things. Because of what you do after you get born again. And that's a whole lot more serious than just losing your reward. Brothers and sisters, you can lose your salvation by the words you speak. By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Peter disowned Jesus with his words. Your words can snuff you out. Your words can stop you from entering the kingdom of God. You can lose it that way. I'm telling you, you need to avoid certain people, certain places, certain things. You need to get serious. Remember that illustration of them trying to tie that lifeboat down in that hurricane? I don't believe the Holy Spirit that inspired Peter to write that was exaggerating, and I don't believe Jesus was exaggerating when he said, keep making every agonizing effort to get through the door. Because many will try to enter, they're not going to enter. They just were half-hearted about this. Hey, I don't need to go to that extreme. I don't need to go that far. I'll just kick back. I mean, I did pretty good up to now. I got all this behind me. Look at all the things I did. Listen to me. It's where you are at this moment. I don't care what you did before. Where are you right now? If you get snuffed out on the road tonight, would you go to heaven or hell? Are you right with God right now? Is your heart pure? Blessed are the pure in heart. The clean in heart is what it says in the Greek. Is your heart clean? Sin can make it dirty and soil your clothes and bring you to your death. The one thing the heretics will never tell you, these savage wolves, these servants of the devil preaching a security and sin gospel, they're never going to tell you that sin can bring you to your spiritual death, but He can. Amen. I could go on and on. I don't know how long my voice would hold out. I love you. Jesus loves you. But brothers and sisters, how much do you love Him? How much do you love these people around you? How about the unsaved people? How much do you care about them? We need to go after them. Jesus left heaven, died on the horrible cross to save them from hell. It's up to us now to spread the word. He delegated us. We're His ambassadors now to spread this message. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. We got the best thing. We got the real thing. Now we got a purpose to live. You didn't have one. You didn't have a purpose to live until you came to Jesus. Now you got a purpose. Don't let the devil deceive you in any way, shape, or form. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask you would burn into the hearts of every one of us here this important need that the Bible brings out, that we all, without exception, need to be much more serious with our walk, keeping our hearts pure.